Ogar, I'm with the goat.
Hello, Luc.
How's life?
Very good. I moved in Portugal last September, and since then I really feel the quiet in my life. I really just making art every day. I have a good routine. I'm really taking this art career seriously. And being there in that country, which is very welcoming and with a lot of culture and authenticity, it's very good for me. And they do good wine, good cheese, so for me it's key to be there.
That's great. It's a nice environment to bring out your artistic expression.
Of course.
Yeah. And how does it compare to France? How does it compare to France?
There is more and more rules. They are tough on small entrepreneurs in France, and they are tough about the crypto subject as well. You pay a lot of taxes, and in exchange you don't get less and less services. The vibe is not good because people feel they have less and less, and there is really tension in the air. And for all small reason, I moved because I felt like I needed to go somewhere else. I needed to take care of my family for a while, so being close to them. And as soon as I had an opportunity to live my life like I wanted as a digital nomad, I took it. So I can live this artistic project of mine. I can have plans to make art residency, exhibits, like... I'm really happy to be here, and this is a new phase of my life, a true commitment to this artist career and situation that I totally embody now. And like Trevor said, there is no plan B. Like I want to build that legacy of mine, whether it works or not, because I need to do it. I always worked for passion more than for anything else, and I need to be passionate about what I'm doing, and art is the way. I finally accepted after 30 that it will be a job, mm-hmm. in a way, like the things that I will do and that I will cherish to participate in the movement, but as a therapy as well for me, and for creativity, something I need to do in order to express exorcise the things that are bothering me, the way the world is, the way the people are acting, the way technology and the influence it has on our life, reacting around those things that capture your attention online, the way the algorithm is system works in order to make you feel angry, frustrated, and like art is for me the way to escape from that. Mm-hmm. I love to be around nature in the Algarve, being with my dog, and the goal is to keep doing what I'm doing and be happy while doing it.
Mm. So you're really focused on building your legacy. What's your kind of your vision for that?
I started doing crypto art in 2019, and so I did a couple of pieces, and there was at the time a high demand for metaverse buildings. So I built over 60 different projects, 60, 70 different projects, over 100 parcels all over the metaverse, mostly and mainly in crypto voxels. And kind of the demand around those concepts when COVID ended was basically done. Like people had switched to other way of viewing the metaverse and using the metaverse. The metaverse is also closed. The landscape of the business changed. Some product became like unavailable. So this is what I built my legacy on. All those buildings that now I reuse as assets, as you could see in the Cult Immersive video, all the buildings I made were assets from the metaverse. So I'm making like a legend of them, and they are now a universe I created, and that now I can create a scenery with it. Like I can arrange them the way I want in different compositions, and I actually have a palette of assets made from the metaverse. So I'm doing kind of branding by displaying them, so people who actually own them, well, they can see them in different art pieces and in different contexts, advertised, exhibited all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also visual art, because I have a lot of technical skill, but I still prefer to work on still images,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like moving stuff, you direct the attention of the person, you kind of show what you want to show. Me, I prefer to narrate a story on the still images, where you can have different level of lecture in order to understand and question what you are looking at. But still images are not very popular. People like blinking GIF and moving images. But I don't care. I really want to have like a corpus of art that I can be proud of, that I can display, that I can print. Having still is also good, because you still can go back to the physical by mm-hmm. printing them or doing like large exhibit of them on still surfaces. Maybe road signs and stuff like that. There is a lot of road signs that are empty here in Portugal. Mm. I'm considering maybe to put some heart on it.
Okay.
It will be fun. I don't remember the name of the company, but you know, they are using empty advertising space to display artists all over the world.
Okay.
On advertisement, you know, billboards.
Mm. No, I've not seen that.
I should search the reference, because they help me, they exhibit me all over Belgium,
mm.
and normally I know it. It just, you know, where somebody's having a camera on you, you are forgetting all about your life. Art Crush Gallery.
So you were mentored by a lot of money.
Yes.
What did you learn from him? Like, and how?
I know a lot of money since I'm 15,
mm-hmm.
but I met him when I was 18.
Okay.
I know him because through his career, he has done some machinima in the video game business. So I knew his name was around. And when I was 18 and started to work, they announced me that it will be my art director. So I worked alongside him for the long part of my career in video games,
mm-hmm.
exchanging a lot about process, what to do. He was really, really strong on After Effects, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knew everything about Adobe and what to do, how to do it. Very creative person. We were working fast because we needed to produce for, mm-hmm. for the content, the mm. video content. It was the rising of Twitch and YouTube and broadcasting live, and we participated to democratize this concept, creating web TVs and web content around those. And
yeah.
you needed to have fast DB, you know, to great output to maintain the rhythm. So it was like producing, exchanging tips all the time, shortcuts, brainstorming ideas. And we were very free in our creative process at the time. It was startup spirit. We could do whatever we wanted, be provocative, be alternative, dark humor.
Mm.
We had a lot of creative freedom at the time. And he was also a mentor, like an example for me as to live, or to think, what music, influence. We like the same kind of comics, of pop culture, various very eclectic style of music and different cultural piece, going to a museum. It was really like important. And at some point I evolved in my career. I became, climbed the step. I progressively became like a producer, a talent manager. And at the time I wasn't really creating. I was managing people who created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I feel like I was at the top of the corporate system, like I did it all. I was really working for the biggest company in Europe about influence marketing. And I wanted to get back to my roots and start to produce things again myself that I could say, okay, I did that. My name is on it. This is my legacy, like I said. And Alot at the time onboarded me. Like he said, hey, you know, there is this stuff. He explained me the tenets about what was going on blockchain. I heard about it before, but you know, when you are in the tunnel of your work life, you don't consider like new things to add up. And I fell in love with the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto, the concept, what Satoshi did, how it evolved, how those decentralized governance concepts could enhance the way humans are interacting. This concept of trust that would be renewed in this unknown to unknown reputation based system. And all those concepts just made sense for me. And video game was my passion, still is. I just felt I did it all, and now it was just marketing job as any other job, you know. So I'm not here to sell brands and shit to the millennials and children. Like, I don't care. I'm not a billboard. So I work for passion. So now I'm making art. I love it. This was always something. It just being an artist, it's a starving job most of the time. It's a commitment. It's a life choice. It's tough. This is the way. Like, this is the journey I want. I want to experiment the journey and see if I make it. I want to give me a shot at something crazy.
Well, you've built a position for yourself where you can now do that, and it sounds like this is the beginning of that next phase. Sounds really exciting.
Yeah. Because before that, I had side jobs, side hustle. People want me for my knowledge about blockchain. And still, you want to do commission. Because selling hard, obviously, in that market contest is hard. Everybody is saying so. There is less and less people here for that matter, because there is no really more money flow except for the biggest artists. The galleries, the curator, they don't do the jobs. They are doing the job for themselves. Most of all, I really rarely have real deep discussion around art. As it, what I produce, why I produce it, how I produce it, but more about where it is available, how do I sell to, how much are the royalties, like really business oriented. But in Web3, anyway, as an artist, you are like an influencer. You are doing everything for yourself, except me. What I want is to create, not to advertise what I do. I just create, and then I make sure it's exhibited somewhere where it makes sense.
Yeah. Do you foresee yourself like sticking primarily within the Web3 NFT scene? I mean, obviously, it makes sense on many levels to be here as a primary place. But do you feel tied to it in a certain way, or do you feel free to explore different directions, different avenues, or drawn to any other avenues?
I think blockchain technology is inevitable. Like, it will be the thing. Like, Web2 was the thing, Web3 will be the thing. Whether you add AI in the mix or not, this technology is really important to really remove intermediaries in our systems and just give to those who are actually creating value, and not just a system when you are always extracting the value the most you can. And it's a long road. It's a long shot from my experience over 6 years in that thing, the crypto anarchist philosophy is not here for many people. When I talk with them, most of them never read the crypto anarchist manifesto.
Mm.
And sometimes I fear that it will go all over again with the CNBDCs, with the government creating their centralized money and everything,
mm.
and that the power will end up going the same way it always has been.
Mm.
But I still nourish hope. But we need to educate people, and that's where we are not good, because it's really a rabbit hole of knowledge.
Yeah.
You have to learn and learn. I remember myself reading technical manuals about Ethereum, about Bitcoin, to understand everything that was going on. What was a fork? Does that happen? What are the different networks, the different layers? How does it operate? What was that fucking story of switching from proof of work to proof of stake? What does it imply? Or does it go? The tokenomics of the things.
Mm.
But it gives you matter to think. It gives you tool to project yourself in those kind of environment. And so far, it's an experiment. And if we understood something with all those DAO and everything, where people at the end are not really invested, even if there are some kind of interest for them, they don't have the software to basically be part of something. Of a decision process, you realize that most people are not in the decision process in their lives, so they are not involved, whether it's in politics or in career, you know, there is a hierarchy, they're following it, the people that is supposed to do something will do it, and there is no real collective consensus way of coming together with a solution. We give power to people for them to do that for us. But are they doing it right? As human beings, they are flawed, so obviously they won't. That's where smart contracts are coming into play to fix the problem. But all the society has to work on it, like lawyers, accountants, every corpus of different profession need to come together to think about some utopic experiment of a decentralized international government where business has the same rule everywhere and give a framework, a template of rules that everybody can play with. Because evolving with those high sphere of people that has money all around, you realize that most of them, they shitted the system at some point to be rich in a way. Like they played with the rules, they bended the rules, they fiscally optimized, they played the game. They play by the game, but the game is rigged in a way.
And
some are punished for it, some are not, and it's not fair. And when I say fair, it's not about everybody having the same thing. It's about everybody having what they deserve, depending on the output of work and knowledge they put into things. When we see how Web2 evolved, which is basically monopolistic company, like phagocyting all the web, like in terms of hosting, data property, the way they are using it, they monetized us. And they took all the intellectual property of all the developers I worked for them. And it belongs to GAFAM. And all those big companies are now bigger than most states in the world. And I like the Silicon Valley utopic philosophy of the beginning, but you can see how flawed it is, and you can see that it did not evolve into an open source system. Actually, it's more and more proprietary and intellectual property robbery. And for me, the actual concept of property has to be redefined. Because obviously it's money-oriented today. I view the power and the resources to maintain your I don't have the word in English, like...
sovereignty?
Pattern.
Oh.
Patterns.
Patents.
Patented,
yeah.
Ownership
and... like self.
Yeah, the fact that you deposit an ID and that now you claim it for you, but you have to deposit it in every country of the world, and it's not like just paying an option with the lawyer to have international license. You actually need to go in all the country and follow their process to patent the ID in the country if you really want to own it.
Yeah.
Except it costs a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
Like.
And there are countries that will ignore it anyway.
For instance, it's a small example, but my mother, she was an artist as well. She never worked in art because she had to take care of us, but she did the Beaux-Arts in France. She's really a traditional artist, like painter and everything. And at the time, she did a pattern to create like small square boxes, you know, to sell jewels or stuff like this. And it was really a nice way to fold it up.
Okay.
And she deposited it for a while. And at some point, she couldn't pay anymore for the thing. Nobody never bought it at the time. But as soon as the patent was released, a big company, I think it was Dior or something, or maybe Chanel, a big French luxury company, took the thing and did it for themselves. Like, I don't think we would have been millionaire from it. But you definitely have people that looking at those things, that taking the ID from them. And
you'd just be recognized as well.
Yeah.
But presumably, because of that, no, there was no recognition.
Yeah. No recognition. So long way to go. The reputation-based system is flawed because people have short memory in this market. So you are fucking influencers with millions of followers that are saying bullshit every day, but people are buying into it because they look rich. And then you just cultivate like mediocrity and the fact that people are relying on some kind of idol to make choices in their life. You cannot work like that. If Satoshi told us one thing, it's about doing your own research and making your opinion for yourself and working together to come to some kind of consensus, a proof of knowledge, a collective proof of knowledge and acknowledgement. Like there is definitely core concepts that all humanity can agree upon. And we don't need much more than that. We just need to take action and stop the greed at some point. But this is very idealistic.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I think we will lose the energy before that and kill each other. But let's at least make an attempt, you know?
Absolutely. It's got to be the foundation for the philosophy for heading into it. Otherwise, which direction? It goes in a bad direction from the start.
Yeah. As an artist, we have a responsibility to try to make it work at our level, to try to propose those experiments. With the cult of crypto art, it's kind of what we do, trying to create, you know, you have a family, but of course in your family there are some people you like less than others, but they're your blood. You need to love them anyway, unconditional love at some point, because they are your family. We just need to extend that concept. Artists have disorders, they are difficult sometimes. There's a lot of artists in the cult that I don't appreciate for some stance or some position or the way they talk, like being disrespectful or anything. But at the end, we are artists, we are special, and we are a family, dysfunctional family, but we need to come together. And if at all level we can do that, we can expand once again. So it's not only blood, well, we can argue that we all have the same blood, but and to expand that concept, to come together and coming with a good system that will interest everybody and eventually replace the work by robots, and then we live like in Wall-E and everything. Like lot of science fiction. What is good is that we have 50, 60, 100 years, if you want to go to Jules Verne, of science fiction pieces that say to us like what not to do. But when you look at the masterpiece of George Orwell, 1994, you realize that it's kind of what's going on, like twisting the sense of world, noveling everywhere, cornerizing people into scheme of thoughts, whether it's in the discourse or even online, like Chamber of Echo, all over the internet and social media, where you just talk to people that think alike with you. We cannot function like that. It's very American way to separate people, you know, by communities, not by mixing them, but by making sure they are separate and antagonizing each other. And I don't know why, but this cultural system seems to spread. So we need to make an end to it because it caused big tension, like a major conflict in a lot of countries in the world that are about what I just said. Like,
it feels like the source of many of society's problems.
Yes.
It's accelerating it. Yeah.
Oh, no, no. I will solve that on my level, doing cubes, voxels, slowly cube by cube, building my own blockchain of semiology. And we will build from that.
It's good to keep like the open, you have to think about, well, you don't have to, but it's good to think about all these things and be aware of them. And
of course.
And to delve in and go down that rabbit hole. It's an endless rabbit hole, really, because it spreads in all directions, doesn't it?
Yeah. This is how to translate humanity models of doing stuff and process into actual code. And it's a big work, but it's a doable work. Like most administration is in most countries are unfunctional. Like it's slow, people are not working correctly. All the time in France, you have those problems where they send you back up your document and everything was there, but they say something is missing. And you have that in all countries. In Portugal, you have that. In UK, you have those kind of stuff. Because humans are flawed. Like the plane is the most safe way of traveling because it's computer assisted all the way. Most of the way is computer assisted. Mm-hmm. The day all the cars will be computer assisted, there will be no more crashes.
Mm-hmm.
No more like road stop. Like it will just be fluid because everything is synchronous. We just need to find the right cursor to not be enslaved by those concepts. And that's why big companies cannot own it.
Mm.
We must collectively own those things that came from all the knowledge we put on this network of internet over the years.
So what do you hope that the next steps will be in that direction? Like, especially within this space, what would you like to see?
I think the next phase is really about mechanization, like slowly robots replacing jobs, and there will be a big crisis and a big dilemma about what do we do now. Do we keep like trying to financially exterminate the persons that cannot have the means to live,
mm-hmm.
like basically using capitalism as a Ponzi scheme to eradicate the people that cannot follow the path, or take another option. But from my experience, all the social movement comes from violence all the time. So you have to go out in the street and start to kill leaders. As a French, that's how we did it. I think there is no real way around it, but
well, yeah. I sometimes things need to fall into chaos to be fixed. Yeah, I mean, it's that would be a very ugly scene.
Destruction and creation process all the time.
Mm.
You create, you destroy, you create, you destroy. It's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, is there a less destructive way around that?
Yeah. When I work on Photoshop, I can have different versions of my files, or nothing is destroyed. Like I can always have a backup version.
Mm.
Maybe we should think like that.
Yeah.
On the personal level, like having save state, you know, like, oh, you made it to 18, now you are safe. Until that period of time, you have this side quest in your life that you need to complete to progress to the next level. The gamification of life, you know, the fact that you complete quests online with blockchain DAO systems, you know, in order to produce value and revenue depending on your skills, which can be various.
Mm.
But you just involve yourself into something you can do, that you enjoy to do, and that will benefit a lot of people.
Mm.
Not like art, you know.
Mm.
Art, it benefits the people that see what you are doing.
So how does art play into that?
Hmm?
How does art play into that?
It's a field where people, because they have no job, they have time to think. And because they have time to think, they have time to express what they think and make other people think. So you create a discussion. You create, once again, debate. You link back with emotion, rationality. You can talk about difficult stuff. And I think talking about the stuff is what we need. Because we are talking a lot about what free, but we never really solved all the issue of what Web 2 brought in the term of, oh, anybody now can give an opinion. How do we deal with that? What is the freedom of expression means? Where does it end? What are the limits? Who is the intermediary that is making the call? On the American campaign, it was a big subject, like the fact that maybe the Democrats had the hands on all the social media, so that will filter the, what would be displayed. We know that developers of the app have the control to remove the content, to choose what content is displayed. And the question is, who is making the call? And we never solved that issue, or just saying like everybody can talk whatever they want. And then we sorted out by knowledge, by investigating, by checking facts and seeing what's going on. Seeking for the truth is one of the biggest issues of now, because nothing is true anymore. Everything is questionable. Every source is questionable. Ad hominem attacks, expertise questioning. Who are you? Well, I'm a doctor. I worked as a doctor like for 20 years. I'm an expert in epidemi. Okay, but I think I'm right.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's it has been technically made that way for marketing purpose and branding purpose, because you need to cornerize people in some sphere to serve them the right advertisement content. And then you just are talking with each other about the same thing and nourishing the same hate about something that is not relevant for you normally. It shouldn't like bother you, but because it's presented to you every day, you are talking about that all the time, thinking about that all the time. And they are attacking always the same thing, like gender, sexuality, drugs, money, war. Even Bitcoin has become a religion. Like for some people, they don't understand the technicality around it, but they think somehow it's something that we save everybody without doing anything, and everything else that come after Bitcoin is not sacred, it's not decentralized, it's not good, it will tarnish the reputation of Bitcoin. That's those Bitcoin boomer maximalists are killing us, like just by not doing the legwork, like actually taking fucking books, reading them, accumulating knowledge, knowing what they do.
It's lazy, isn't it?
Throwing anathems to people, invoking idols. This is not the way to go. This is not the way to go. We need to remove idols, we need to remove intermediaries. And what is very, 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 very funny for me to have a bit studied all the monotheistic religion is, you know, that idolizing thing, it keeps coming up. Like in all the biblical text, whether you are Jewish, Muslim, Catholic, don't idolize people. Like, don't idolize figures, you know, because you will be disappointed. We had to create the idea of God, which is nobody, so we can refer to something which is not somebody. Because if that somebody, you can kill him, you can say it was that kind of guy, you can discredit him at any time, and then everything he did is like compromised in a way. So don't idealize people. Like, make your research, read the most you can, question everything you can, and try to remove doubt the most you can, and exchange the solution you came up with. As an entrepreneur in my entrepreneur life, you always encounter guys that want to make feel people like they know everything. Mm. And so they say you this and this and this. And when actually you do it as an entrepreneur, you realize it doesn't work like that. They give you false information just to talk, you know. In the entrepreneur life, it's always like this. Sometimes somebody gives you actual tip that is relevant. Mm. But at the end, nobody really knows. Even when you go to a lawyer, to something like I've been to. When I was working in influencer marketing at the start, the problem was that all the funds were coming from PayPal and from Amazon via Twitch and etc. So how do you justify those revenue? Mm. And so the lawyer, he can do whatever he wants, but that's a new thing. At the end, government will make a call. So you are choosing an expert thinking you are covered, but you're not covered. You are responsible for everything. Mm. You just ask the opinion of somebody that should have some kind of legitimacy, but you have no guarantee that he will be right and most likely will be wrong. Mm. And for blockchain, you did the same case all over again. Every time it's new, like at the end, they have no real power. So you need to.
We need more critical thinking.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's almost essential to.
I see a lot of positivism and I see a lot of people that became really irritated by negativity, and I think this is not the way to go. You got to have positivity and negativity, deal with it as a cycle. And sometimes people that give you negativity does it for a reason. Hmm. Like there is politeness and there is honesty, and sometimes those concepts doesn't go along well.
but if you're not extreme or in your thinking or so single-sided, then you can listen to you can listen to that, you can hear it without taking it personally.
When I was young, the American model was sold to me like that. Like anybody can have their own opinion. Mm. They will talk about it. And eventually will disagree and they will be fine with it. It's not the French way to go, but I appreciate the French way to go actually is Voltaire, you know? Like, I don't like what you say, but I will fight to death so you can say it. I want this, like in every step of the life. So actually when you say something positive, it has meaning, it has value. You're not some kind of Californian throwing positivity all around and in the end it's fake. It was just like branding in a way. Mm. So you need authenticity.
Authenticity.
Today, influencer business is around that. You want authentic person to follow and to see, to thrive, that you can identify. And this is the way human connect, like finding people that are alike, but still you need to have eclectic thinking, and this is not easy.
Well, okay, this has been great. It's nice to go deep into a topic, and especially in a scenario such as at an event like NFC, it's hard to find the time sometimes. And I feel like this year has been calmer all around, and that's allowed space for conversations like this to happen.
There is less greed this year, basically. There is no less attraction for profit. Mm. So basically, there is more people that are there for passion. Mm. Greed doesn't lead anywhere. Like, at least in my life, like if I wanted to work for money, I will do something like illegal where I scam people and I just accumulate money. Like all the influencers that have money did it that way. Like the first wave of traditional influencers that talk about crypto, they all started by rugging, like really shamelessly. Like and their reputation didn't go so much worse. The only example I have in mind would be of course, Sacha Baron Cohen, the guy from, I don't remember the name, it was The Exchange, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen, something, the guy with the silly haircut.
Yeah.
And the Octua girl, like Octua, the girl, she was like having a moment of fame and then she rugged and she disappeared. But most of the influencers I see doing that didn't disappear at all. They're still around.
They're still around, and people don't seem to care.
Yeah, of course. They forgot. Anyway, sometimes you look for your own tweets that are 6 months before, 1 year, 2 years before, and you have a hassle to find them. So imagine for everyone, like, say, you are just seeing the moment live, you know?
Well, it's short memory spans, short attention spans.
Yeah. Even the news is treated that way. Like it's the obsession of the moment, of the current moment. No looking back, not having an analysis. It needs to be fast, it needs to be easy for people to understand. Otherwise, they won't understand because people are dumb.
But it's part of the information overload as well, being bombarded the whole time.
Yeah. The way we are, as soon as the 24/7 news channel came to life, we lost something. Because now news has become a product.
Well, you have to push it more to more extremes in order to keep attention, because you shouldn't have that attention for that long.
It's the easy way to go. It's reptilian mechanisms that are inscribed in us, like fear, doubt, shame, frustration. I should have that. I want to have that. Why do they have that? Like jealousy. Like we cannot go that way.
Twitter is almost the 24-hour news network of people's brain dumps, just constantly.
If you do the big mistake to click on the For You tab and not the subscribe, you're done.
Yeah.
You see a world that is beyond recognition. I think if you do that all day, you just burn your brain. Like you cannot live like that. And actually, older people and new generations are not like aware of it. I had the chance to see the transition. We had this news agency, which is called AFP, Agence France-Presse, which was just giving factual news, and then it would be derivated in the other news with editorial filter, obviously, but at least you have factual news. And I saw it was public information before, and now it's become really a brand. Products are selling information to stuff. And I saw the transition, because even working in video games field, we have some old school journalists, video game journalists, but still journalists with journalist background. And I remember that guy like smashing his keyboard on his table. Very calm guy. D&D type of guy, tabletop warfare, roleplay. Very calm, the calmest guy I ever saw. Very about literature, a bookworm and everything. And the guy just clashed because AFP made a spelling mistake. They made a spelling mistake. Orthographic error, misspelling. They didn't write properly. Because normally, the ethic of the business is that when you publish a news, you don't have the typo. It's like clean. You didn't make a mistake. You double check and triple check, and everybody saw the notice and checked for the orthograph and the grammar. But nowadays, it's totally gone. And I think not even the journalists now are smashing the keyboard if they see orthographical mistake. You know, it became like normal.
So was that a principle for him that was just like it was end of a generation, end of an era? Like him to be that triggered to be so angry, like
it was for him it was unacceptable. That the AFP didn't double check, triple check in order to produce an information that had no mistake in it. Their reputation was based on that, in a way, to be flawless, and just deliver facts and that's it. And now they deliver products. They deliver like fact checking, like. And every news channel is owned by billionaire because it's not. Something that you get money for. It's a public service normally. The news should be public service. But when there were public service, there were government owned and government propaganda, basically. That's why I loved like models like Scent, you know, Matthew, at the beginning, mm-hmm. The very beginning, the concept of everybody can post an article, you have seeding anyway, and you have sourcing, and then anybody can produce some kind of analysis and document it, and it's decentralized, and nobody publish you, but reputation-based. Mm. Like that person put his reputation on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if his jeopardized, he's done. So he will make the maximum to be accurate and honest in this workflow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need, honesty, transparency. I tell you what I do, and I do what I told you.
Mm.
Trust. But we need understanding for that.
Mm.
So.
Well, I appreciate your time. I think...
Yeah, well.
I think, how do we wrap this up? This is...
A beer, a cigarette, utopic thinking, Baba Cool, hippie type of stuff. The guy left the video a while ago. He was like, that guy is fucked up. That guy is fucked up. I don't understand anything with the French accent. At this moment of the video, like, 99% of the people swap to TikTok.
Wow. But that's where you need to, in order for it to be seen by people with the current attention span, it has to be chopped up into little pieces. Like, I guess that's how you draw people in.
I gave, for 3 years, I gave university level teaching about blockchain, NFTs, metaverse. And most people, in a video games context, most people were defiant because the way it was sold to them,
mm-hmm.
Culturally and by the media. And because of that, most of them never wanted to get on it,
mm-hmm.
because they had very, very, very heavy a priori on the thing.
Mm.
Like the ecological problems that proof of work could create with electricity, all the bullshit we saw.
All the bullshit, yeah.
And they were very sensible to that. But out of a promotion of 30 guys in each classes, you got one or two or three that connect.
Mm-hmm.
And that are like, wait, he said something that makes sense. I will inquire, I will check it out, I will start to go into the rabbit hole. And somehow you are just doing it for them, like to create a light in them. I'm really disappointed when I see the new generation, because I grew up with computers, so I had to have deep technical understanding of what I was doing with them.
Mm.
How it worked, how could you do, how you use Linux with command control.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and I thought naively that people after me will know more.
I thought that as
well. Will know more.
Yeah.
And actually I was like, well, they don't. They just use it. They don't know how it works. It's like Max Weber theory of the disenchantment of the world. Like, you don't know how the bus work, but you know it's not magic.
Yes.
You know, eventually, if you search for it, you will understand how it works.
Yeah.
But because you have that possibility, you won't understand how it works.
Mm.
So you have this illusion of knowing everything and how everything operates, but in fact, you have very little knowledge. How many people are capable today to describe you or function explosion motor?
Mm-hmm.
Very few,
yeah.
But a lot of people have cars and motor, like, but they don't know it works.
Mm.
And for computer, it's even more troublesome, because you need to have your hand on your machine. You need to be the master.
Mm.
You need to understand what you are doing. You need to set rules. And this is the open source way of thinking.
Mm.
This is the way the first prophet of the Silicon Valley kind of describes this kind of technological utopia.
Yeah.